Hey, everybody, we're back with another version of Flock and Gather. It is your only 18-minute podcast, so you can take it in the car and on a walk. That's what people love about it. It's Alan Scher. You guys know me. I run the Spa Industry Association with our 70-plus thousand members across the globe. Today, probably I'm going to have as much fun in 18 minutes as a guy can have in our industry because I am with a... How long have we known each other? Like 15 years, 12 years? What is it?
17, I think 17.
I'm going with 17 years. You guys probably also know Brian Paris. He has run spas. He worked at Universal. He worked at Earthlight Living Earthcraft. He's got his own deal now, and we're going to talk about it. But first, we're going to talk about boy stuff, too. So hang in there for just a minute. So the reason I like Brian a lot is because I have way more hair on my head than he does.
But that's called a fractional advantage. That's not way more.
Look at, you know, my brothers, they can't stand it because they're both absolutely bald like my dad was. And I still have fractionally more hair on my head. But dude, you've grown this beautiful beard during COVID. I just love it. It looks great on you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. And it's a funny little story just to hit it really quick. I have lost my hair in my head very young. I had a girlfriend whose dad said, "You'd look good with a shaved head." He shaved my head and it never grew back. And I have suffered without hair that life. And I tried to grow a beard until I was about 45. I couldn't really grow much of anything. And so I kept a little, you remember, a little short beard scruff for a bunch of years. But a year ago, maybe a little more, I decided I'm going to try and grow it a little bit longer. And then when COVID hit, I just said, okay, I'm not going to cut it. I'm going to see what I can do. And all of a sudden at 50 plus, right, 52, I can grow a beard. And but the funny part about it, if you've seen it, and most people have, I've got this very prominent gray stripe right down the front. And it's grown wider over the last few years. You know I'm getting old. It used to be a little thinner. But people used to, Todd Hewitt did this, actually accused me of dyeing it gray down the middle.
And that's say natural, right?
It's natural, right? Yeah. I just don't have any other gray, but he accused me of dyeing it. And would you ever dye your beard?
No, like, we're not vain enough for that, you know?
No. I love Pepe Le Pew, but I wouldn't dye it this way if I chose.
On another note, we've been talking about this. You know, I spoke with several distributors this morning who have said, there again, that light switch keeps getting pushed up, Brian. It's so weird that, and you're in California, so you know this, right? With the openings and the closings, yet the spa channel business keeps creeping up. What is that all about, that we keep doing more business even though times are tough?
Yeah, well, I think the regulars in our industry are really eager to get back. You know, the regular clients, the people that see it as lifestyle. I don't know that we're seeing, you know, the barrage of the couples, the barrage of all the little pieces we saw before. But we are definitely seeing the people that are wellness driven, that are lifestyle driven, that use it to maintain. And you're a great example of that. You know, we all like rituals. And one of those rituals is getting touch and a little workout. And, you know, a massage for all intents and purposes is a great stretch. And I think it fulfills a lot more than just stretching. But I think people still need that. And despite, you know, some fear that's out there, there's a lot of great precautions. And I'm really proud of seeing our spas take that, you know, by the horns and try and insert as much health and wellness and sanitation and disinfection and things that they can do. It's been pretty amazing to see the pivot that even the little day spas had to do. But as we know, a lot of them are doing very, very well.
Right. And that's a good point as well. In fact, the last few sponsors that have come into the association, their focus, unlike what it is normally where people say resort destination, five-star, et cetera, they're asking me about estheticians and day spas and individual practitioners. And that's a conversation we've had a lot this year that we just have not had a lot of in last year. So it shows you why you still need to be flexible and have a good grasp on the wider aspect of our market, just not the ones that feel sexy to sell to, right?
Yeah. And I don't, I'm not upset with that. I think as a spa person, because I think it gravitates us towards wellness and towards medical, maybe even a bit.
Right.
You know, being medically clean, like you would expect in a dental office and a doctor's office. And I think people on the road too, you know, they have the opportunity to make people feel safer. You know, estheticians going out or massage therapists going out can make them feel safe in their home and ensure that it's disinfected and clean, but they've got to do their part too.
Yeah. Speaking of medical spas, Greg, and you know, we're still, the association signs up 200-400 members every month. Good times, bad times, they just keep signing up. And Greg happened to mention to me that we are getting a lot of medical spas signing up. Medical spas have always been open. They were deemed essential, and they've been rolling right along through the pandemic as well. So go visit your medical spa. All right, I want to talk about what you're doing now, because you have a whole new gig and you're lighting people up on fire across the market. So the company's called Echo Dioxide, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, let's spell it for listeners. It's ECODIOXIDE. Okay. Echo.
So eco, echo, and dioxide.
Got it. Correct. Okay. So you can go to echodioxide.com, right? And find
Correct.
It.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
What are you doing? Tell people what happened. I know they knew you were at Living Earthcraft and Earthlight, and then boom, all of a sudden you're in your own business. So what's happening?
Yeah, I've been in this business about 25 years, and about 18 of them doing equipment and supplies. And, you know, back when Bodywork Mall started, I worked there, and later ended up with Universal, which is a great teaching place, and under Marty, you know, who's one of a kind and just brilliant.
Yep.
And I learned a lot about product and development and, you know, putting out how you really develop and put out products to the market. Went to Earthlight and Living Earthcraft as a junior partner, and I really loved my time. But I was getting an itch to do something. I mean, you know, furniture makes a place beautiful, but product makes a place different. And I was really getting an itch to do something. It's been for 2 or 3 years, to be honest, probably 2 years, to be honest. And I wanted I had an idea in mind. I really wanted to develop something that I could make a difference with. And knowing what I knew about products, we waste, you know, I was looking for some answers, right? Where are the holes? And one of the holes is we ship a lot of products across this country, and they're very expensive to ship. Anyone that's shipped a gallon of massage oil or product, you know, you have to buy them in four to make it even convenient to ship. And most of that product's water. So we're basically paying to ship water across the US. Number two was storage. And they're in building spas. This is probably, you know, I've built my first spa in 1999. The very problem everyone's had is storage. You just don't have space anymore. And we'll see architects and designers forget closets, right? Let alone what we have in our room. So how do we get better with storage? And thirdly, and I think my time at the Green Spa Network, and you know, I worked for Sundance for a while, in between for Robert Redford. Sustainability and green really hit me, and it hit me, you know, 2001, I think, is when I really started to get into it. And I progressed and learned, and I kind of focused on water. I'm a swimmer, so water became my issue. How do you conserve water in all the ways and means? And so I looked at all these problems, and you know, first the water one didn't click as much. I knew we were shipping stuff. I knew disinfectants were out there. I knew, you know, and COVID happened to come on. If I'd have started a year earlier, probably been a year sooner. But I realized that people needed a little better way to do it and a cheaper product, but just as good and just as effective and EPA registered and all that. But I came across in my Asia travels years ago, tablets and dehydrated forms of cleanser and soap. And now we see them here in your dishwasher, right? You see these little pods and tabs, and we see them in some cleaning stuff, but really in our business, it's the same principle. So I found a great chemical called chlorine dioxide, which is where the name kind of comes from. And chlorine dioxide has been around since the 1800s and is used in about 95% of our waterways to disinfect. And at a higher level, it's an EPA disinfectant. And there's a couple manufacturers, in the one in the US, one in Canada, and I partnered with both of their labs and have developed a great little teeny tiny tablet that is one tablet, covers about a quart of water, and it is inexpensive and easy to transport. And as you can imagine, you know, take four tablets, you've got a gallon, you could put that gallon in your front shirt pocket.
Okay, wait. Okay, you have covered so much ground in 3 minutes. So wait, let me catch everyone up. So Echo Dioxide, the company, one of your primary products is, you're telling me if I need 10 gallons of disinfectant and I'm paying what, $8 or $9 a gallon just to ship it because it's mostly water, but correct, you're telling me I can take a gallon of water already in my office, add four tabs, and I have a disinfectant at a certain level?
Correct. Yeah. So you can drop in 4 tabs of the 1 gram tablet or 1 gram of the 4 gram tablets, either way, and you get 100 parts per million disinfectant, which
and
is.
And what is 100 parts per million? What does that tell people?
Parts per million is just in a chemical or in a product, how effective that, how much is in that particular water balance. So if you claim something's 500 parts per million, it'll be more concentrated than 100 parts per million. But there's a little bit of a myth in that, and I'll talk about that in a bit, in dilution. So what you really want is a product that looks at a gallon of water or a quart of water and can make that quart of water exactly the parts per million you want. Now, parts per million change by chemical. So some are effective at 100, some are effective at 500. But the nice part, this is effective at 100. And that's where it's registered with the EPA.
Okay, so going back to the beginning, you had an itch to go off and do your own thing, which, by the way, is so common in our industry. As someone once said to me, our industry is like trying to corral cats, right? Everyone is very independent. Yes. They want to do their own thing. And God bless you, right, for being able to go take all your experience and do your own thing. Okay, so let's come back. I'm fascinated by this conversation. So a lot of it was about sustainability and the use of water and having a green thing. You really pick that up at Sundance, right? Because they're very ecocentric. Yeah. Can I say ecocentric? Does that make sense?
You can say ecocentric. That's
okay. Right. And then you commented on how, and we all know this because over the course of time, this has always been it. There's no damn storage in spa channel facilities. Spa, salon, resort, there's no storage. But you know the reason. You're paying for space by the square foot, so why are you paying for storage space?
Yeah, and that has been the single, even beyond price, even beyond anything, that's the number one issue that spa directors and corporate directors have brought to me in my discussions. And I just had a really good conversation the other day, and, you know, having to just take visually, pick a gallon, pick 5 gallons, pick 10 gallons, put them on a shelf. Pick 5 gallons worth of tablets and you can put them in an envelope. Right? It's just that big a difference. And, you know, we need to think about that. And also, you know, all that plastic is one use. You use the jug, you have to throw it out. You don't refill it or reuse it or redo. Now with tablets, you can.
Okay, wait.
The nice part, but
people might not have an empty gallon jug sitting that's clean in their place. How do they get an empty gallon jug?
Well, I also offer them, obviously, and so the distributors we work through. But, you know, everybody will make it a little different. So some people will make just a quart at a time. Some people will make a smaller amount. I've actually done a bag that holds about a half gallon, and I have another bag at a gallon that we give to clients.
Okay. So you're telling me, there's no issue when I get the tabs and they come in this little teeny thing and I go, wait, I didn't spend, if I buy 10 gallons of product and I ship it halfway across country, it literally costs $8 to $10 a gallon, right? It costs $80 to $100 to ship.
Yeah, I mean,
you're telling me that the same amount of tabs that make that liquid might cost a couple, $3-$5 to ship, right?
5 or 6 gallons of tablets anywhere in the U.S. can go that for about $4.75.
Okay, you know why I'm having a hard time getting my mind around this, right? this is a massive, this is an environmental saver. It's a water saver. It's a sustainable saver. There's so many good things here. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, the sustainability issue is really important to me, and I'll emphasize it in the fact that every piece we use is recycled, our post-consumer content and all our packaging. You know, that's a message that's easy to get away from, but that's how important it is to me, and I think important to the product. And, you know, the chlorine dioxide breaks down naturally. You know, it's salt, electricity, and water. That's pretty much the combination of how you concentrate a product. But the price is fantastic. The shipping's even better. You know, just think about the resources and the money and what you're putting in shipping, you know, a box of 4 gallons across at a time versus shipping an envelope. And okay, that is where the real advantage comes in. And right, storage. I mean, it's just.
Yes, there's no. I have to say this one more time because it bears repeating.
Sure.
You're telling me that I can get some small tabs, like a little foil pack, like I might get a Excedrin or something from the pharmacy from. And right, those tabs in a quart or a gallon, whatever the combination, make the same kind of liquid that I would have to spend $8 or $10 to ship.
Correct. And, you know, it's a dehydrated, concentrated form of the product. And, you know, you can put it similar to a tab you might drop in your dishwasher. You know, that it's really the same, similar principle. Okay. But this is just made to, you know, surface safe, surface disinfect, and be a natural, sustainable product.
Okay, Brian, a couple things. And we're going to do part two of this because there's too much to cover in,
sure,
in one session. But
sure,
why would I still buy a gallon of a sanitizer or disinfectant or someone else? What would be the reason I'd want to go buy that big heavy jug?
I don't know that I could necessarily name one. You know, I think people buy out of habit and out of brand and out of thing they're used to seeing. And, you know, there's some great brands in the market.
Oh, yeah.
Product.
Yep.
But there's some real staples and there's some wonderful new stuff. But if you just look at it from the, and if you, every, all of us, I think, have that kind of eco part of us. But if you just look at from cost savings and you just look at from space savings, there's nothing that can match it in our business. As far as I can see, it's unique.
We've been speaking with Brian Paris today. He runs a company. It's his company. It's called Echo Dioxide. You can find them online at echodioxide.com. Brian, this is a scratch the surface thing because this is really a game changer for spas and salons and resorts. And you know that some of the bigger facilities I've talked to, they're buying 20, 30 gallons a month and they're spending $300 just on freight to get it there. So I want to come back and talk to you in part two about you mentioned the word Tang. So I want to come back. A lot of people don't know that. Okay. Tang was an orange drink.
Yeah.
We're coming back. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about dry wipes and we're going to talk about the levels of sanitation and disinfectant. So people, stick with us. There's a part two that's following. So please pick it up and we'll be back with Brian. This has been Alan Scher. And remember, be kind to one another.